Chapter 11. Recognizing Red Flags. Hardly a day goes by that I don't hear about yet another relationship that's dysfunctional. How did it happen? What went wrong? How could something that seemed so perfect come to this? And how can you avoid becoming a victim? Sometimes you can't, but there are many things you can do to prevent it happening to you. When we meet and fall in love, we indeed have blinders on. At our age and with our wisdom, we need to remove these blinders and use common sense. The signs are always there. We just don't pay attention to them. We women are notorious for making excuses. We excuse bad behavior in the men whom we're attracted to or are in love with. The irony of this is, the signs are almost always there right from the very beginning. I've been a victim of abuse, and I can tell you there were signs right from the start that I had ignored and excused away. When we're in bliss, we deny everything that has even the remotest chance of bursting our happy bubble. Let's start from the beginning. Your first date leaves clues. Is he attentive to you? Or is he constantly looking around the room and looks at every woman walking past? That's blatant disrespect for you. You'd be wise to cut the date short and most certainly not see this man again. If he calls and wants to see you, just decline and tell him you don't think you're a fit for each other. It's a red flag. Observe how your date treats the food server. Is he respectful and polite? Or is he rude and critical about the service or the food? Don't excuse his rude behavior with the possibility that he might have had a bad day. He's not a good candidate for a second date. If he's disrespectful to others, eventually he'll be disrespectful to you and to your family members. It's a red flag. What's his behavior like in a car? Is he a courteous driver who obeys the laws and who is calm and relaxed? Or is he impatient and rude to other drivers or pedestrians? This is a man with low stress levels and anger issues, or both. He's a person who is unable to control his emotions. It's a red flag. Is your man often irritated for no good reason? You keep guessing if you did something that has irritated him. You're walking on eggshells. It's a red flag. If your man is always speaking poorly about someone, his ex-wife, his children, his boss, he has relationship issues and will always feel like a victim. It's a red flag. Is he often moody and shuts you out for periods of time, sometimes for days or weeks? It's a red flag. Do you see signs of immaturity and demands for attention? Yes, even 70 and 80-year-olds can exhibit this kind of behavior. Is he irresponsible? Does he let his bills pile up without paying them? Does he take care of his health? Or has he let himself go physically and eats poorly? Is he really someone you want to be with? These are red flags. Watch his drinking habits. Are all your activities centered around drinking? Does he drink too much? Does he often get drunk? Does his personality change when he drinks? Does he do drugs? What kind? Are they street drugs or prescription drugs? Does he expect you to participate with him? If you're subjected to any signs of excessive drug or alcohol use, get out of the relationship as quickly as possible. It'll get much worse before it ever gets better. Watch for signs of controlling behavior. If he insists you do what he wants you to do, he's trying to control you. If he wants you only to himself, and if he wants to limit the time you spend doing things without him or seeing your friends, he's trying to control you. Controlling behavior does get worse over time and can lead to complete isolation, anger, jealousy, and beatings. Does your man initiate rough play, physically hurting you under the guise of being affectionate? Does he like inflicting pain? It's a red flag. As time goes on, he'll become more intense. His roughness will escalate, and his pain infliction will increase. You're not safe and must get out of a relationship like this immediately. Is the new man in your life rushing you? Is he moving things along too fast? Does he want to see you more often than you'd like? Does he want to monopolize your time? Is he moving too fast to get intimate with you and pushing for sex? Is he talking about moving in together or about marriage, and you hardly know him? These are all red flags. It's best to just move on without him. You may experience the opposite behavior. He's distancing himself, or he comes and goes when he feels like it and expects you to wait around and welcome him back every time he shows up. This is a red flag that can be an indication of a double life. There could be another girlfriend or a wife and a family he doesn't want you to know about. There is no future with a man like this. Get out of the relationship and move on. If your friends and family don't like him, pay attention. Ask them why they don't like him. They often see things and pick up on behaviors long before you do. The people who love you want you to be happy. They also don't want to see you making a mistake by taking up with the wrong kind of man. It's some of the most valuable feedback you could be getting. Earlier, I talked about your first date leaving clues. But sometimes the clues are missing, and you have no warning that your date is the wrong kind of man. He's charming and does all the right things. You're absolutely smitten. Everything seems just perfect, and nothing could go wrong. Yet there are clues that you may have very well missed. And those clues will tell you that this man will charm you until he conquers you, will have you where he wants you, and then he'll do a complete 180-degree turn in his behavior. I've heard numerous women share their stories about such a man in their lives. Usually the behavior changes right after marriage. His demeanor changes, and he becomes controlling and abusive. You're left wondering where this wonderful man who has swept you off your feet has disappeared to. What changed? What happened? I have yet to understand this kind of man and his behavior. He doesn't quite fit the profile of a sociopath, but that's the closest connection I can make. The clue you should be looking for is this: is he too perfect? That in itself should arouse your suspicion. Is he really for real? You know the old adage, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably isn't. I'd suggest finding out as much about him through his friends as you can. These are all serious red flags. In the beginning, the trouble signs can be subtle and unrecognizable. The earlier you can spot them, the easier you can get out of a relationship. The longer you stay in a relationship like this, the harder it will become to get out of it. Worse, your staying together with such a man could escalate his abusive behavior to the point when it will become dangerous. The earlier you get out of it, the better. It's not the relationship you're looking for. If you start pointing out what you've noticed and what you want no part of, you risk the breakup getting ugly and even dangerous. I'll share my own personal story. I met my husband in a cocktail lounge. I was a cocktail server. He was a patron. He worked nearby, and on his breaks, he'd stop in for a drink. Everyone liked him. He was a happy drinker. He asked me out sometimes, and I always turned him down. In retrospect, I believe deep down I recognized a behavior that was making me uncomfortable. I failed to acknowledge it. Eventually, I went out with him, and our dates always included excessive drinking. I wasn't much of a drinker and not interested in becoming one either. I remember being aware of the personality change the more he drank, and I didn't like it. But it wasn't enough for me to walk away. I also did the very thing that today I tell women not to do. I moved into his home. I was exposed to the drinking on a daily basis. I was unhappy and angry most of the time. We were compatible in every way, but the drinking was a problem and resulted in many heated fights. I gave it a year, and at the end of the year, I made arrangements to move out and leave him. 6 months later, he quit drinking and wanted me back. I told him to look me up in a year if he was still sober. We eventually married, had a business, but the sobriety ended. After 5 years, he went back to drinking. At the moment of his first drink, I knew the marriage was over. The next 2 years were a hell I wouldn't wish on anyone. The divorce was ugly, with threats, violence, restraining orders, police calls, and a tremendous toll on my health that left me with a debilitating 3-year depression. I often wonder what that 15 years of my life would have looked like if I had acknowledged my feelings about unnatural drinking and made a different choice. How many of us have made poor choices the first time around? The purpose of my book is to make better choices the second time around. We have another chance to do it right. I'll share one more personal story. I was in my early 20s, a time I now refer to as being young and dumb. I did what you do in your 20s in the 1960s. I went to clubs. That's how I met a suave, charming, fun, and intense South American. He swept me right off my feet. I had a 3-year relationship with him, and it was one of the best times of my life. We were two very carefree young kids having fun. It was a passion-filled romance. We loved hard, played hard, and fought hard. However, he had a dark side. And again, I missed the clues. The first clue, he never missed looking at another woman walking by. Next, he started cheating with my girlfriends. I'd blame the girl, and that left him to do it again. Actually, the first clue should have been his excessive jealousy. I took it as a compliment. Jealousy is not a compliment. It's a behavior that escalates. I saw his jealousy getting more intense and obsessive. One night, leaving a party, I received an unexpected blow to the face so hard it nearly knocked me out. His rage over someone at the party that had talked to me. I'd finally had enough and decided he struck me for the last time. I caught a blow across the back of my head that knocked me to the ground. That's when I had enough. I often talk about getting out of potential problems early on because later is much harder and can be dangerous. I had to be very careful how I got myself away from this man, as he was a threat and a danger to me. It took quite some time for me to stop looking over my shoulder because I was afraid. Here are some of the excuses we give ourselves when we want to deny that things aren't exactly great in our relationship. He isn't calling. He's just shy. When a man isn't calling, he doesn't want to call. If a man is interested in you, no matter how shy he is, he will call. If he's not calling, he could be distancing himself from you. Then one day he'll come back and repeat the pattern. He's abusive. But it's my fault. I shouldn't have made him angry. I see him only when he wants something. He must be busy with work. Whenever a man's behavior makes you uncomfortable and you feel that twinge, that pinch, that's a red flag. It's telling you something. Every red flag is a warning and information you must pay attention to. Look back at your past relationships and recall the number of times when the warning signs were there and you didn't pay attention to them. Take a paper and pencil and write down all the times when you had warning signs and ignored them. How many times did you have a gut feeling about something or somebody? Learn to listen to your gut, because your gut will never steer you wrong. I want to point out more behaviors to pay attention to. They're not necessarily red flags, but they will certainly point out to you the men who aren't available. Men who play games or toy with you are not in it for the long-term relationship and will waste your time. If you're dating a man who will only text or email you, and you've made it clear that you prefer a phone call, he's ignoring your request. It's a clear sign that he's only interested in what he wants. He's a man who isn't interested in what you want. There is the last-minute guy. He doesn't believe in making plans. He just expects you to be happy to hear from him. He thinks you have no other life and will always see him at the last minute. He's the guy that calls at midnight for a booty call or after he's been out all night with someone else. Have you ever been around a man who flirts like crazy every time he sees you, but will never ask you out? He's just building his own ego and has no interest and no intentions of ever asking you for a date. Stop flirting back. Let him get his ego fix elsewhere. Have you ever gone to bed with a guy on the first date or the second date only to never hear from him again? Oh yes, it still happens at our age. Men are still men, and you still want to believe the guy who whispers in your ear that you're the most irresistible woman he's ever laid eyes on. Or how about this one? You did this incredibly foolish act. You slept with him, and afterward you were repulsed by him. You asked yourself, what could I have been thinking? You start dating a man, and he lets you know he has recently broken up with someone and still trying to get over her. I'd suggest not getting involved. He's not available for you, and chances are good he'll go back to the other woman and leave you with a broken heart. Not worth the risk. If a man wants to see you only during the week, but never on weekends, there's a reason. Ask him for a Friday or a Saturday night date. There's a reason you're not doing things with him on the weekends. A man who is not available or ready for a commitment is elusive and vague about the future. You don't know where your relationship stands, and you often feel like a friend rather than a girlfriend. If pressed, he gives you his reasons as not being ready for a relationship. It simply means you're not his right one. If you were, he'd be willing to commit to a relationship. Most of us carry around old beliefs about relationships that are myths. The biggest myth that I've already addressed in the previous chapter is that men are intimidated by successful and powerful women. It's not true. Men are very attracted to powerful, successful women. What men are turned off by is the focus and the attention those women give their businesses that leaves little time for the man or for attracting love. When you meet the right man, you'll know it. This is a myth. We're ruled and drawn in by the chemistry that fires off between a man and a woman when there is a strong attraction. With time, that initial chemistry wears off. And when it does, the dynamics of the relationships change. That's when the incompatibility of two people begins to show up, and eventually the relationship ends. The strong chemistry between two people has no staying power. The relationship is so physical, you both fail to get to know the real person in one another. Once the passion has burned up, you find you have nothing else in common. You'll never know if he's the right one without spending the time getting to know him first. I'm not saying that after a period of dating and spending time with each other, you wouldn't be able to come to the conclusion that you strongly feel he's the one. The myth is knowing it the first time you meet. Dating is stressful, and meeting men is hard. That's a myth. If you want to believe that and have that kind of mindset, it will be far more difficult for you than it needs to be. Dating and meeting people can be a lot of fun. It's all about how you look at it. A good relationship should be effortless. That's a myth. Two people can be wonderfully compatible, but relationships still take work, time, energy. Without focus and attention to the happiness and the well-being of a relationship, it can't be sustained. Online dating doesn't work. That's a myth. More and more happy relationships are created from online dating than ever before. The key to online dating is learning how to navigate the online world. It absolutely pays to become effective and active online. Online is where you will find the largest number of single men anywhere. They are there for the same reason you are, and that's to make a love connection. I always enjoy teaching women how to be smart daters and how to choose their lifelong partners wisely. If you can live out the second half of your life in the most joyful way possible, isn't learning how to do that worth it? So many of us don't get it right in the first half of our lives. Too many of us have experienced disappointments, heartaches, sadness, frustration, defeat, pain, bitterness, and abuse. That is not how life is to be lived. We don't have to resign ourselves to the belief that it's our lot in life. We all deserve to love and be loved, to be happy and to lead fulfilled lives. I've given you the tools and the skills that will make your dating life successful. Next, we're going to cover more strategies, a few more bits and pieces to make your dating life easier and to help you find Mr. Right. Yes, we have a little more ground to cover.